One of the more confusing things that can happen after infidelity is that a couple suddenly becomes a lot more physically intimate, and sometimes just a lot more, like daily or multiple times a day. And it can feel urgent, intense, emotional, desperate, satisfying, passionate, relieving, confusing, all at the same times, and it can even feel addictive. And because it feels so intimate and intense and new, both people can start to wonder what it really means. Does it mean that you're healing? Does it mean that you still love each other? Does it mean the relationship is stronger than we must have ever thought? Does it mean that one party has forgiven the other? Does it mean that you want to stay? The answer is no, not necessarily. This experience is often called hysterical bonding. After a betrayal, especially romantic or physical betrayal, some couples experience this spike in physical closeness as a way of trying to reattach to each other after that bond and the safety around that bond has been threatened. And so hysterical bonding is not proof that the relationship is fixed, it's proof that the relationship has been threatened. I think it's really important to be clear about this because after infidelity, so many things can get misread. Pain can feel like love, panic can feel like passion, relief can feel like safety, and physical intimacy can feel like repair, even when the deeper wounds have not been addressed yet. And it can be either partner initiating this. So the betrayed partner may suddenly feel this powerful urge to be close to the person who hurt them. And the unfaithful partner may suddenly become a lot more affectionate, attentive, emotionally expressive, or physically present. And together they enter this phase where closeness feels like the fastest way to close this distance that was created by the betrayal. And from the outside, or even to yourself, it can look like reconciliation, but internally for both people, they know that it's a bit more complicated than that. And it can mean a lot of different things in your mind. It might be meaning, I need to feel close to you right now. It might be, I need to know that you still want me. It might be the sense of, I need to reclaim what you took from me. It's like all this time outside the relationship was happening. And so now we need to recreate it inside, like make up for it. Sometimes it's the fastest way to get certain images out of your head. And it can also feel like this weird mixture of, I hate you, but I need you near me. And so needless to say, hysterical bonding, if you're going through it, is extremely disorienting. It's like your mind is furious, devastated, disgusted, but then your body is reaching out for closeness. It's not that you're going back and forth between the two things, it's that different parts of the same person are trying to solve different parts of the injury. The thinking mind might be trying to process what happened, whereas your emotional system, which lives more in your body, might be trying to process the pain. And then the attachment system might be trying to prevent the loss of the bond. So you have a lot of different things operating and going in different directions. So why in the world does this happen? It happens because infidelity is not just a relationship problem. For many people, it's an attachment injury. An attachment bond is not just a nice emotional preference. It's a part of how human beings create safety. Your partner is not just someone that you enjoy. In a committed relationship, they become part of your emotional safety, that foundation. They're the person you turn toward, you organize your life around. They're someone that you relax with, plan with, and just trust with personal and vulnerable parts about yourself. So when they betray you, the injury is not just they were intimate with someone else and this is upsetting intellectually because of what commitment should mean. The deeper injury is this person that I went to for safety has become the source of danger. And this just creates a contradiction within your nervous system. It's like being cold and reaching for a blanket only to realize that the blanket is on fire. Part of you still wants that warmth. Another part of you knows that it can burn you. And it's this blanket, like you're used to grabbing it for warmth and it usually keeps you safe and secure. But something is different now and it's hurting to hold on to it, but it hurts more the thought of letting it go. That's an analogy for the type of conflict that happens when the same person is both the source of the pain and the comfort. And it's incredibly confusing to both be pulled toward and repelled by the same person. And it's out of that weird conflict that hysterical bonding creates this way to kind of bypass dealing with a lot of the more painful parts while still getting that physical, biological need for safety from them. And there's like this evolutionary instinct too, where we know that this other person secures our safety, and then we know there's a lot of risk with losing a mate, with losing a partner. And so this tool of being physically intimate kicks into overdrive to make sure that they don't leave. And this can happen before you even know whether you want to stay with them or not. So you might be the betrayed partner and you don't know if you trust them. You don't know if you want to rebuild. You don't know if you want to stay. And yet this biological system is still kicking in, making you want to be intimate with them. This attachment system, this nervous system that is doing this, is a lot older, faster, and less verbal than conscious thought. It's not operating from a pros and cons list. And it's as if your body is saying, no, you're not allowed to disappear. You're not allowed to choose someone else. You're not allowed to become a stranger. Come back here, be mine again. And because it's so biological, because it's such an old program that's being run, just telling yourself, well, I shouldn't want this, usually doesn't work very well. And it's tough to look at rationally because it can create a powerful sense of temporary relief. Simple things like touch, eye contact, closeness, intensity can make you just feel wanted and reassured, at least for the moment. But again, if you get nothing else from what I'm saying here, just understand that even if that temporary relief feels good and you're free to enjoy it, it is not the same thing as repair work. Think of it as like if you took painkillers after breaking a bone. Yes, you feel better now, but it doesn't mean that the broken bone is actually going to be fixed yet. Relief is not bad, but if you mistake that relief for your partner is forgiven and everything is good, that could be really dangerous. It'd be like trying to walk on that broken leg. Physical intimacy on its own, even if it's beautiful, does not replace the deeper questions of, has there been honesty? Has there been accountability? Has the betrayed partner's reality been validated? Has the unfaithful partner understood the impact of what they did? Has the deception stopped? Has contact with the affair partner stopped? Have the patterns underneath the betrayal been addressed? Has trust been rebuilt through consistent action over time? If those haven't been addressed, then it doesn't matter how intense the intimacy is. The relationship is still likely not in a good place to continue, at least not yet. And I would also urge you to be careful of power dynamics when this happens. Sometimes one person knows they have a lot more leverage over the other, and they're the one really initiating this. And then one person ends up having a lot more physical intimacy with their partner, largely out of guilt. It's like there's this fear of, okay, you messed up, and so be ready to please me at the drop of a hat. They do need to do the repair work, but that's not repair work. You should be trying to get your partner to prove their commitment if they're the one that cheated on you, through honesty, through accountability, through emotional vulnerability, not through physical intimacy. That is one small piece of the puzzle, sure, I'll grant you that. But if that is the main way that you're trying to get them to establish their level of commitment, you're both deluding yourselves, and you might be abusing your position as the one who was wronged. Another big way this can become a problem is when, instead of talking about the deception, you just resort to intimacy. Instead of discussing the timeline and getting clear around what happened, you just reach out for each other. Instead of facing the humiliation and dealing with that shame, you just seek comfort in each other's bodies. Or instead of dealing with the betrayed partner's intrusive thoughts, you're just reconnecting physically. Again, the intimacy is not a problem. It's the avoidance that this might give rise to. That would be a real problem. I also don't want you to panic about it. I want you to just take a step back and look at it rationally. It can be good, it can be bad, but be honest with yourself whether it is just enabling you to avoid the deeper work or if it is one of many instances of reconnecting transparency, vulnerability, and honesty. Intensity is great. Accountability is much better. And so make sure you have both.